The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
I wish I did.
You look good. Amazing. I like it.
Thank you.
The quarter zip. You know the Manning brothers? Not everybody wears quarter zips.
Do you guys remember when someone put up a picture of Asa when he was at, I don't know where he was at, maybe he was at Global, but he had a full mustache? Was that?
Oh,
remember that mustache?
Also, was Asa's that mustache.
When was that?
That was from covering MLS Cup for the Fox Soccer Reports 2012.
We're going to have to find that photo because, dude, that is creepy. You literally.
No, I remember that photo too. It was not creepy. Thing.
Thank you. I could be your child.
What was really creepy was the virtual set at Fox Soccer News. That was what's really creepy.
Yeah,
I had that as well. Right towards the end of Fox Soccer News.
Yeah, yeah.
That set, that virtual set, wasn't great.
It was cutting edge at the time, though, wasn't it? Maybe when it was first introduced, and then it stayed for a long time, and then it was no longer.
See, the score, I think, was the first one to try at cutting edge, but it was like cutting edge, but it was so, in its such infancy of the technology, it was even worse.
Yeah, it ages quickly, I'm sure.
Just lots really of sharp edges on the desk. That's how cutting edge it was.
And like,
was that the creepiness of it? Was that why it was creepy, Sharms? Like, was it too close to you? Was it?
It's like some weird science fiction movie from the 1980s, how we perceived TV to look like by the 2000s, and it just didn't work.
Well, the mustache picture was actually in LA at the studios there, and it was like the first time I had seen this massive. Yeah, exactly, Wonger. It was very much like a fancy TV set, like a hard set, a proper hard set, like, and it was gorgeous.
Love a hard set.
Something I'd never.
What does that mean? A hard set. What does that
mean? As opposed to the virtual background.
Good
virtual
hard
set.
It's like,
it was spectacular. Yeah.
<You're good. laughs> That's like in 40-year-old Virgin when he's talking about feeling women's breasts. He's like bags of sand. And they're like, what?
Brilliant. Yeah. Hey, welcome
You've
back.
You've never to had sex, have you? is basically the question we're going to ask you.
That's right. Not with that mustache.
With that tash, he's definitely had sex. No doubt. Whether he wanted it or not.
Either a lot or none, but there's no in between.
This episode of Footy Prime.
It's been a few weeks since Asa's joined us. First time in 2026. Are you happy that you're back on, Asa?
Oh, I love it. This is great.
Is it?
It's a reunion. It is great. It's been too long.
Well, listen, it's been
lots to talk about.
A relatively active new year in Vancouver Whitecaps land. Ahmed has left. And we're all really happy for Ali Ahmed, but we're also really sad for the Vancouver Whitecaps, who have lost not just a great player, a great dude, great teammate, great interview. How are you dealing with the absence of Ali?
Excited for him. Gonna miss him for sure. It was the shortest offseason we've experienced with the Vancouver Whitecaps because they went as far as they could go in MLS. And it's been the busiest offseason as well, the most eventful, most interesting Whitecaps offseason that I've seen and been a part of. So much going on. And Ali Ahmed, that news kind of came out of nowhere, happened quickly, and really excited for this opportunity. Looking forward to his next match, his first match with Norwich, because he's a player that I think gives him something a little bit different. It's a team that I think made an aggressive signing in getting him. The fan base is excited to see him as well. And that's another thing that I've been blown away by, just the interest in these Whitecaps players, Ali Ahmed in particular, but had so many fans and journalists and people from the area reaching out to inquire, to learn more about Ali Ahmed. What type of player is he? And then having those comments kind of circulate as well within the fan base. So They're curious to see what Ali Ahmed can bring to the table, and I'm excited to see him on the pitch as well, because we've seen what he can do both for the Vancouver Whitecaps, for the national team as well. He's always been a player that kind of steps up, rises to the occasion, and this is the next step for him. I think it's a good fit, and Axel Schuster explained how this kind of came to be, and the reason why the deal was done now, basically the final year of his contract, and kind of wanting to move him and allow Ali Ahmed to kind of pursue his dreams as well and make more money while doing so. So it seems like it's a good fit, and the Whitecaps have enough depth in that position as well. You have Ryan Gault, who started to come on towards the end of the season, returning from injury. He should be fully fit and ready to go from the start of this season.
Do we know what the transfer fee was, Asa?
Yeah, 1.6 million pounds, I believe it was. So in the 2 to 3 range. And I think that's good value, especially when you talk about a developmental player, like a player that they developed here, went to WFC2, worked his way up. And I remember hearing about Ali Ahmed when he was with WFC2 and just kind of seeing some snippets here and there. And then hearing people talk about how fun and exciting this kid is. And then seeing him come on with the first team. I remember that first match coming into the game with Simon Betcher, and right away grabs your attention with the type of player he is. And the weeks that followed, the games that followed for him, Colin Miller and I will watch these games, commentate on these games. And it was so refreshing to see a winger, a wide player, an attacking player, actually attack, go at players, as opposed to hold it and then cycle it back around. Like, this guy was not shy to take absolutely anyone on. He would continue to push, dictate play forward, even when he was playing sort of in wide, like left back or right back scenarios, he'd still attack through the middle of the park. He wanted to dribble. He wanted to take people on. And I think it's really refreshing to see. And then he's done the same thing with Canada. So you wonder if that jump might be too much. You know, on the international stage, there's the same thing there. It doesn't matter who's across from him. He's willing to take him on. So, yeah, can't wait to see him with Norwich now.
And from a club perspective, I listened to Axel Schuster's presser before the team left for Spain. And he was saying that there were multiple offers on the table for Ali back in the summer. And Axel had the tough conversation with Ali, and Ali was a bit pissed off about it because he wanted to go. He said he's always been transparent about going to Europe and testing his mettle as being his ultimate dream. And Axel had the foresight, the trust, but also realizing that this is an asset and he's invested in it. They're playing the long game. And then not only do they make it to the MLS Cup final, they come very close, they fall short. We know that. But Ali came to him after, and Axel was joking about it. And he was like, I didn't know it at the time. Like, I believed in my players and the group that I'd assembled, but I didn't really know that we were going to make it at the time, but it was the right move. So what does that speak to in terms of the club perspective and their investment in a player who made his start on the second team?
Gosh, I don't envy Axel and what he has to go through, you know, managing players, right? With all of these situations, scenarios, everyone's got their own goals and aspirations. Obviously, you hear the offers coming in, you hear that there's interest, and Axel has done an incredible job. Retaining these players, keeping them in house. And Axel, in that same press conference, talked about the chemistry in the group, and Ali Ahmed, such a big part of it. Having him kind of trust the process and then having it play out bodes well for the club, the organization. That's a bold statement to say you're going to go all the way. You're going to reach the MLS Cup final, but they had enough to do so. And it's because of players like that buying in right from the beginning. So far, Axel and the front office have done an incredible job of keeping the talent in-house. It was one of the things that I talked about in my story for Global on Thursday. They've 9 players that have been with this team for 3 years or more. There is a clear core with this group. And it's been rare to see a player that's been there, been here for this long to move on, like Ali Ahmed. At some point, you're going to have that core leaving, but it's not happening now. He's done an incredible job to keep these players in-house, to keep the group together, keep the band together. And I think there's a lot going into this season. The expectations are higher, obviously, than they were going into last year. They believed it. I asked Brian White this, you know, every year you believe that you're going to win absolutely everything. Your goals are to win absolutely everything. But does this year feel a little bit different? He says, for sure. You know, you reach the CONCACAF Champions Cup final. and fall short there. You reach the MLS Cup final, you fall short there. So it is different because you know what it feels like to be there, to get there, what it takes to get there. The other thing that's interesting, we look at both of those competitions. There were games that they would probably look back on throughout the seasons and the tournament that they could have maybe got, and that would have changed where they played some of these games, right? Whether or not they hosted the finals for each of those. Right. So I think that that's going to change going into this year as well, knowing that they need absolutely every game. Draws aren't enough. You got to find a way to get a result, and they have enough talent to do so as well. So that's the exciting thing about this group right now. It's a core that's been together a long time, and I do feel like they're right there. They want to get over the hump, they've got new some players as well that are coming back from injury that want to have a bigger role to play going into this season. Ryan Gold, I mentioned, but Ranko Veselinovic coming back from injury as well. Sam Adekubi coming back from injury. And then Kenji Cabrera was an injured, but gosh, when he got onto the pitch, you see a starter there as well. So there are also players that deserve more minutes going into this season.
Can I just say, too, it was great how Asa dropped in his shameless self-plug there, the self-promotion. Like, and it was seamless.
You know, so, it was seamless till you brought it up longer. So, you know, thanks.
It's a big old scene there now.
How important is it for everyone to go to Global to read Ace's article and that they signed Takaoka back for another season? Or is it two or one?
They've gone for two. I guess they got the 2027 shortened season. But yeah, through that as well. He's a real important piece. You know, for the most part, it's outside of Ali and Jaden. Those are the two exiting players, but Ali, obviously one of the clear starters. They've kept, that group together, all the starters, and Yohei Takaoka, we've talked about, I've mentioned on here a number of times, but he is so important in the way that they want to play. And there aren't many players, if any, in this part of the world that can do what he does as far as, retaining the ball, keeping possession, and then, you know, sending that early one over the top and starting the attack right from the back. So that was such an important part. But I also think that they'll look to use Isaac Bomer a little bit more going into this season, continue to develop him. Yohei played absolutely every game, every single game, every minute of MLS action for the Vancouver Whitecaps last season. I don't know if that's the case again. They'll have more competitions, potentially more competitions, I should say, this year. They're in Leagues Cup this year, so they'll have to rotate. And I think it's good for the keeper as well to get some rest and rotation. And Craig, you can speak to this. It's not so much, I guess, the mileage that you're running, but Vanni Sartini was telling me this a few years ago. It's the mental toll that it can take when you're playing, you know, five or six games in a couple of weeks. So I think that they'd want to get Yohei some rest there, get some rotation, knowing that he is clearly the number one. But also it's a long season, and the most important games come at the end. You want to be mentally sharp for those. Mm.
Who benefits the most from the departure of Ali?
I think it's Kenji Cabrera. We know that Ryan Gold immediately steps into that role. If you're looking at the starting 11, you probably have Sabi on one side, Gold on the other, Muller down the middle, Brian White up top. I'm pretty confident that that's how they approach these games. But Kenji Cabrera is such an exciting young player, and he's one of these where when I'm going through the roster preparing for each match, I'm trying to find a way, like, how does this guy get more minutes? How does he get into the game? Because and Jesper Sorensen loves him as well. He's talked about him, raved about him, how skillful he is, how smart he is as well as a player. So Kenji Cabrera, I think, is the one that I'm excited to see in action a little bit more. And we'll see how Ryan Gold's feeling to start the season as well. He looked good. Speaking to him at the press conference, at the media availability on Thursday. So hopefully he's good to go and everything's good. But they might look to rotate and rest people early in the season as well. And Kenji Cabrera should get some opportunities in that part of the field.
What about the rumor swirling around reigning MLS Defender of the Year, Tristan Blackman?
Wild week. Like, that was absolutely insane. And when first reports came out that this deal was close to being done. It was being finalized. It was squashed so quick by Axel Schuster. I think within the hour, or right around an hour, he said no chance, not happening. And again, that goes back to the earlier point that they're committed to keeping this group together. And Axel Schuster addressed this. We
took several questions. Someone fart?
No. Someone's either farting or car? Moving furniture. Oh, you know,
it may have been someone above me with the chair on the
very interesting.
Sure, sure.
Use you, Asa Rahman.
That would be something I could talk in at the same time.
Seamless.
That would be a skill.
Seamless. Yeah, seamless. It's good for Alzheimer's. Good for Alzheimer's, apparently.
Just farting is good for Alzheimer's?
Yeah, apparently.
Stop.
No, oh, really. I heard this too. The kids were telling me this.
Yeah.
Really?
So
we get distracted.
Yeah. I'll be great into my old age.
Program in place now.
Yeah.
My brain health.
Sorry. Where were we?
Go
where were we?
Lacking. Yes. Yeah, Axel Schuster wants to keep these guys together, and Tristan Blackman's a big part of it. So he squashes rumors right away, and then the volume went up again this past week after he posted a picture of palm trees,
right?
And then that started circulating
because it was Inter Miami who was able to offer, right?
Yeah.
Sorry,
thank you much, Josh. Yeah, go ahead.
No, the players, these cryptic men.
Yes.
Stop.
Well, this is what I was wondering. Where did this, who started this? Where do you think it emanated from? Like, is this an agent thing? Is this a, you know?
Who would it be?
Yeah, real good question, Wonger. Like, and Axel mentioned that they've had offers. There was a good offer, great offer for Tristan Blackman from Inter Miami. How that turns into, close to finalizing a deal is something that, he has no idea where that came from. And then the rest of it as well, whether or not he reported for his medicals and the palm tree picture, I think is innocent enough. He's from Vegas and I'm guessing he was getting a training session in or whatever in the morning or going for a run, like anywhere. And then to turn that into something, I think it's a little wild as well, and it felt like they're reaching.
Come on, come on. He knows it.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
You think so? I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know him better than me. I've never spoken to that guy in my life. But I have a very cynical view of athletes in general.
Really? You think it was, I don't know. The next picture, I think, was like on the grass with his boots or something. I think it was innocent enough. Like, could have been. That's just a park. I don't know. If I took a picture in the rain in Vancouver and then, he's rumored to England. Like, what? I don't know.
What is it, rain?
Well, what do you
in England?
What's that?
It doesn't always rain.
I don't know. I thought it was reaching.
Just in Vancouver.
Yeah. Only in Vancouver.
This guy's headed to London.
Horrible weather.
I mean, has this got legs, this rumor? I know it's been dismissed, but I mean, so is Josh Sutton. It's been dismissed by Norwich too, but if the right money comes in, they'll do the deal.
Yeah, and I think that's just it, Charms. I think it probably comes down to that. But Whitecaps have control, leverage. He's under contract through 2027. I guess if the right offer comes across, then they didn't entertain it. But by all accounts, that was a very strong offer. The Whitecaps have made it clear that he's a big part of what they have in place here. And Axel has said that these things happen for sure, but usually when it's closer to the final year of the contract, similar to Ali Ahmed's situation, and they see this is quite different. So he's also a big part of this group and the chemistry and what's worked so well when it comes to like bringing in new players. He's been a part of that, like this core that has been really good for the Vancouver Whitecaps. Great leadership throughout. So I think that the Whitecaps do intend on retaining him. But yeah, like you said, Charms, it depends how generous the offer coming in would be.
Ralph Priso obviously is with Canada right now, but is he going to be at camp as a center back or is it
Yeah, I see him as a center back. I think I saw someone's 11 had him in the middle of the park, and I think even for Canada, he goes in as a center back. Mm-hmm. I think he's just so good at that spot. It's unique, and you see it around the world. Like you have Zinchenko's and stuff kind of move from a midfield role to either a fullback or a center back spot. Like it makes sense. You see the ball, you see the game differently, see the field differently, and he brings that to the table. Like he's so good on the ball, he's so comfortable with the ball, and then he sees these passes, these passing lanes. He can pick teams apart. So it worked out beautifully for the Caps last year, and he has this speed. I think that is underrated as well. He never loses a race. Like, that's just we see it over and over again. I can mention here as well. There was a game against LAFC where he tracked down Denny Bawanga, which is you don't see people do that. So I think he has exceptional speed. So yeah, I see him as the center back, and paired with for the Whitecaps, if he gets minutes with Ronko Veselinovic, when you pair him with size, because that's the thing that people always bring up. You know, he's maybe not tall enough, not big enough, but you pair him with a taller center back, and I think it's a perfect combination. So I see him as a center back with the Whitecaps and with Canada.
But does that put more weight on the whole Blackman situation, the fact that he can, and you see a partnership there?
Yeah, I don't know how that would impact those decisions, but it gives them cover there for sure. They have a versatile player in Matias Laborda as well, who could play, you know, at the fullbacks anywhere across the back four. And then you have players that you brought in as well last season in the summer transfer window in Sebastian Schillnau and Yudryk Pupa. So you have more depth at that position. So they do have options there, and they have a lot of games as well. I think that's going to be one of the things to keep an eye on through training camp in Marbella is who elevates in those positions. I don't think Ronko's ready at the moment, but when he is, I think he's one of the first names on the team sheet as well. So yeah, that's going to be a lot of competition for that center back spot.
What do you think?
TFC's going to Dubs.
Go ahead.
I know. I was going to just from the previous podcast. TFC's going to Marbella as well, and Craig alluded with Jimmy about a certain nightclub in Marbella that they've frequented
about
in
it.
The past. And I just want Craig to give us. We ended the show earlier, and we didn't get into it as much as I'd like to have done. So, Craig, can you just elaborate on this club?
On Sinatra's?
Yeah, Sinatra's.
It was a favorite spot for a lot of the English clubs to go down to Spain and Marbella.
But what about
great
Sinatra's?
Weather, good golf courses.
I don't care about the golf courses.
And Sinatra. Sinatra's is right on the basically on the docks of the inlet there, and it's a famous spot. I don't even know if it's still there, but
is it a Rippers or a club?
Pardon me?
Is it a Rippers?
A Rippers? No, it's just
I just need to ask. Just
bar. It's a bar.
Jimmy's whole energy bar. Hooked up when you mentioned it. That's all, and so I assumed it's a Rippers.
It's now a Hooters. Yeah.
What is it? What makes this place so special, though?
Yeah, exactly.
You the topless waitresses.
The naked women dancing on stage. But it's not a Rippers.
I'll tell you a story quickly from there. I was with West Ham, and we're out all night and basically all night. So the sun is coming up, and Razor Ruddock, he knew one of the guys in there, and apparently very wealthy. And the sun is coming up, and he's like, "Do you want to come back to my boat?" And there's these massive yachts in the harbor, like massive, different sizes, but lots and lots of money. So we go, "Yeah, okay, let's go." So we wander down the dock, and there's the biggest boat in the harbor docked. This guy jumps on. He goes, "Come on, lads, let's go." And I'm like, "Okay, right. Wow, okay." So we go on the boat. We try a door. It's locked. "Oh, okay, let's try another one." So we go up, and we end up walking all over this boat and we're trying doors, and they're all locked. And I was like, "Razor, who the fuck is this guy? I'm starting to think that we just jumped on a boat. We're all hammered." And anyway, we find a door that's open. We walk in the door. We're like, "Oh, okay." It was spectacular. And then all of a sudden, up the stairs come like six or seven goons that are working on the boat, and they think the boat's been taken over, basically. Oh, shit. And I'm the first guy they see, and they're ready to fucking rugby tackle me. And this guy goes, "Hey, it's all right, lads." And it's like, oh, it is his boat. Thank God for that. So we went up on the hot tub. We're sitting in the hot tub. The sun's coming up. And anyway.
Amazing. It's still there, Sinatra's. It's still there.
Is it really?
Puerto Benus. So this very popular bar is an icon of the Puerto Benus Marina front. Always busy. It's an ideal place to relax during the day. Well, at night, it transforms into a who's who of Puerto Banus. Great for celebrity spotting. Not to be missed on a night or day out in Puerto Banus.
Awesome. Well, the other thing is, Craig didn't mention this, but Craig is the writer of one of the writers of Heated Rivalry, and it all started from that hot tub. So he Canadianized it.
It's pronounced right? Hot tub.
Wouldn't that be hot tub?
Yeah. Yes, that's yes. Right. Ibiza.
Hot tub. I come to my hot tub in Ibiza.
Hot tub. Yeah. Oh yeah, Asa's still here. So anyway, so
you
when
take
you
footy prime to Marbella.
Oh, not just say that much if we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then go yacht hopping with Craig afterwards.
Yeah. We'll take our rowboat.
Pedalo. Yeah. And those pedalos.
Yes. I like pedalos. They're fun.
They're awful things. Too much work.
No. You can drink while you're doing the pedalo. It's good.
There was what World Cup was that when a bunch of English players at a World Cup got into trouble? Oh, no, was it cricket players and the pedalo? It was Freddie Flintoff, Craig. Freddie Flintoff and a bunch of England cricketers, while maybe during the Ashes series or maybe they're in the West Indies, they went out, got hammered, went out on some pedalos and got stranded in the middle of the ocean.
Amazing. Had to be rescued. Wow.
Where were we, Asa? Sorry.
No idea. Pedalos.
We were talking Blackman, about we were talking about Blackman.
No, we were on to Ralph Parisseau.
Oh yes, it's back.
Canada.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Well, that's what my question was before you. I think you you moved it to TFC because you said that they're going to Spain too. And then you asked Craiger about the glory show. Days.
Yes. We went down.
But I had a question about Parisseau. So Asa, we were talking about filling that roster for Jesse Marsh in Canada, assuming it's a 26-player roster, that those players who are like 23 to 26 will have to be utilitarian, like jack-of-all-trades type players, right? Those Swiss Army knives. Excuse me. So I think Ralph Parisseau, being able to play a multitude of positions, being of smaller stature, do you think he has a realistic chance of cracking that roster when you do have significant depth pieces at the center-back position?
Yeah, I think he gives you something as a defensive midfielder. You mentioned you could utilize him there. But I am curious to see how he could slot into that center back spot, which appears to be a cursed spot as well for Canada when it comes to injuries there. So, yeah, you're right. Like giving Canada depth in the midfield and at center back is something that bodes well for him and his chances of cracking this lineup. It's wild that we're talking about this because what a year he's had. With the Whitecaps, seeing him contribute more and more. It's been the story for so many Whitecaps so far this season. But to have him on the radar even and now having the opportunity to prove what he can do for Canada is amazing. So really excited and happy for him. And why not? Because like you said, he's able to give them something a little bit different at the center back spot, but also provide depth in the middle of the park.
And you mentioned his pace. So playing that Jesse Marsh style of football, like that's where, for me, he maybe gets an edge.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really excited to see him just be a part of that camp and then and continue to develop as well. Because I thought that coming from Colorado, I think you learn everywhere you go with different coaches. So you had the upbringing with TFC, obviously, then with the Rapids, and then with Vanni Sartini at first, and then with Jesper Sorensen. I see a player who's kind of taking things from different coaches and bringing it to his game. And this should be a great opportunity for him as well with Jesse Marsh, the way that they want to play, obviously, very distinct style, that high press. That could be great for his development and hopefully something he brings back to the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Ray and Alumi in the squad as well, which is really exciting. This kid, I mean, he just, his story last season alone, Asa, was just really something.
It's another one.
You know, starter in the absence, obviously, of some injuries there. But still, what a performance throughout the year. I mean, this guy's sitting is so high, but he's got to turn the heads of his international manager. And what a great opportunity to do that this week.
Yeah. Passes the eye test. I think he's one of these guys, jumps off the screen when you're watching him because of the maturity that he has at that position. And I've always thought that striker position, you don't, I think you hit your stride, you're your best in your late 20s, because I think that there's patience that's required in that position. You're going to score sometimes, you're not going to score, and you're going to have to fight through that, but you have to continue to do the work, obviously. And he has, I think, absolutely everything. He has all the tools. He's extremely smart as well, makes all the right runs. His movement's incredible for a young player. His hold up play is great as well. He's not just one of these young players that's trying to run in behind every time and just get that ball over the top. Great understanding of the game. And then he gets these goals as well. So he's a scorer. And yes, I think it's great that he's got this call up because that was one of the first things I noticed as well. And it's a position that Canada is very deep at right now when it comes to strikers, forwards. You have so many players, so many options right now, and really talented players around the world. And I see Ryan Alumi and what he's done so far, you wonder, how does he get in? So I'm so excited that he's a part of this group here. And I think that he can be one of the best to play this position in Canada. Just from what I've seen, I know it's really early and don't want to pump him up too much. But gosh, when you see him play, yeah, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's really smart. I think that's one thing that stands out to me the most is just how intelligent he is as a striker. And he's still so young. I think that he's, he's with the Whitecaps for the foreseeable future, but I know that there's going to be interest in this guy because he's got so much potential.
Is this, he's obviously there on merit. He just described exactly why, but is this also strategic from Jesse Marsh's perspective, given his success with the dual nationals, right? He's played with the youth Tunisian teams. So is he calling him in kind of to have discussions and to give him a taste of what the Canadian environment is all about?
Yeah. And in talking to Toss to St. Ricketts, who's with the Whitecaps, but connected as well with Canada. He said that, yeah, they've been looking at this kid because early days with when I first saw Ryan Alumi, I asked Toss about him and he said, yep, yes, with Tunisia, obviously, but Canada's well aware of his ability and want to have him part of the group going forward. Toss also said something interesting to me that he encourages players to try things, right? Like to experience it, to know what it's like there, what other programs are doing. And I thought that was really interesting. So I think that was kind of part of his story, part of his journey, obviously. But I know that Canada has, wants him here, obviously. And it's great to see him in that group. So maybe it was part of the to make sure that he's a part of things here and to show him what Canada has and that he is very much a part of the plan going forward.
Would you say Jaden Nelson's motivations to leave Vancouver were just for that, to get minutes ahead of a World Cup, to really push that side of his career?
Yeah, and that was no secret. I do wonder if things would have gone differently if the Ali Ahmed move was first, but it's still a tough position for the Vancouver Whitecaps as far as getting minutes because you have Ryan Gold, Kenji Cabrera, as mentioned, Emmanuel Sabi as well. And Nelson needs those minutes and not just minutes off the bench, like proper starting minutes week in, week out, showcasing what he can do. Cause we saw it last year, right from the opening game at Portland. He's such a dynamic player. It gives him so much. And it was great to see him develop last year. I think he needed that as well. Maybe a player that people kind of forgot about, didn't know, where he was at this stage of his career. And, he really turned some heads last year, and he's probably one of the fastest players on the roster, right? Wherever he goes, he's that quick. So excited for him, and I think that was part of it. And then Axel Schuster mentioned as well that he understands that, and he wanted to give Jaden that opportunity to show what he can do in a World Cup year.
Asa, I wanted to ask you about another guy you missed out on the semifinals at MLS and then the finals, the MLS Cup, just missed out, made some questionable choices. Do you think that Colin Miller gets back into the fold at the broadcast booth?
Yeah.
I didn't know where she was going with that, but it's brilliant. Well,
I was thinking too. I was thinking through the roster, and then he didn't feature in these games. You're right. It was Colin Miller. Very much a part of the plans going forward. And yeah, excited to going out for dinner with Colin and his lovely wife Maria Saturday night. So we'll be talking about the upcoming season. So much excitement for this upcoming year for the team, but for us as well. Calling these games, didn't anticipate what we had last year. Like, didn't know that that's what we were going into last year, and what a treat it was. And you know, even right down to the final game, going to Florida to cover that final against Inter Miami, pinch me moments throughout the year. It was incredible, and looking forward to this year, and looking to build on it, obviously, and do more things as well. So we've already had some meetings, continuing to have meetings as far as like ramping up coverage, potentially putting together a podcast that definitely won't rival Footy Prime, cover something completely different. But you know, it's exciting times. I mean, that's one of the things that we've kind of seen, yeah, not just last year, but throughout the offseason. There's so much interest in this team, not just here. Canucks will always be number one in this market probably, but the Whitecaps are showing that they could be maybe the most followed team in this city, and that's because of the global interest in this club. With Ali Ahmed at Norwich now, I know there are people that are following the Whitecaps from there. Thomas Muller as well. People from Bayern following what the Whitecaps are doing and did last season. So there's a lot of interest, and it's exciting because we see it through these podcasts, through these YouTube videos, whatever we do. There's so much interest, a lot of engagement. So it's been great to cover this team.
Like and subscribe.
Yeah, like and subscribe.
I know Wunga's brain is spinning right now, thinking, opportunity, eh? We'll talk about that later.
Ride the wave. Ride the wave, Asa.
What is someone as cultured as yourself take a Scotsman for dinner?
Where are we going?
Yeah.
Everyone's going to show up if I say no.
Exactly.
No, you got to pay for sponsorships, right? Where should we go?
Right. Why don't you let us know?
Wunga, you had some boring question about politics or Vancouver and World Cups and stuff.
No, we'll stay off that till the next time. Okay, Ace is back. God. Yes. We'll stay away from any of that.
I know you wanted to drop the fact that you had met the Vancouver mayor whilst in Washington for the World Cup.
Were you at the draw, Wunger?
I don't know what you're talking about. That was so long ago.
Quickly on that topic, though, I know that there's a real push and a high priority to keep to get this stadium deal done from the city of Vancouver to kind of make sure that they're doing absolutely everything they can to make this happen. And that's the stadium at Hastings, because they know that means that plays a big part in the Whitecaps staying in Vancouver. Everyone has seen how great this has been for the city. Thomas Muller coming, last year's success, all the rest. So there's a real concentrated effort to get things moving on that stadium front. So as there's news there, I'll let you guys know. I'll probably break it on whatever podcast I have going at the time and then just get, no. Yeah. But there's some a lot going on this season, and hopefully it's all good news.
Okay. I'm all out of questions.
Me too.
Anyone else?
Good. I got to get to work, so.
Fair enough. The actual paid gig, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Hey, so thanks so much, mate.
Hey, thank you.
Preseason is here, amazingly. It really is stupid how short this off-season was. But we look forward to chatting with you a lot until you leave us for your new podcast.
Yes. No. I like this too much. I don't think. Maybe I'll just talk about it for how long? 6 years?
Exactly. Do that.
6 to 8 years. And, continue to do this. This is too much fun. Thanks so much, guys.
No worries, mate. No worries. Fully Primed again. So make sure you repost and subscribe all our content, and check out our weekly newsletter every Friday. You can sign up to that at wearefullyprimed.com. Okay, until next week, until Monday. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend, everyone, and cheers for listening.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Hear that, Asa? Our podcast has a newsletter.
Yeah. It's yours?
It only took us 6 years.
That's right.